We're going to start in Philippians 1, 3 through 6 this morning. Philippians 1, 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In verse 6, that's what I want to focus on this morning. He's writing to these Philippians, the church, and he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That we look to Jesus to make the changes that we want to come about in our lives. Not that it's all up to God. If it was all up to God, then everybody would just, you know, be perfect and walk perfect all the time. But we all know there's things in our lives that we need to change. We all know that we're not who we want to be. We know we're not to the place that ultimately we will be. And if we try to do all those things ourselves, it can be an overwhelming burden. It's not up to us. We work with God and look to him to bring about the changes in our lives. As we put ourselves under the word, you know, as we let this word grow in our, we put it into us and let it take root, look to Jesus to lead us and guide us, look to God, change happens. We'll get to where we need to be. But if we try to take it upon ourselves and say, I need to change these things, so I'm going to change them, and they're going to change now. I don't know about you. In my life, when I try to do that, it seems like it gets that much harder. Not to say it's not that we just hang back and don't try to change anything. My point is that we look to him. We look to Jesus. As the more we focus on him, the more we make the word of God first place in our lives, the more we let that dominate, change will happen. We'll become who we're trying to be, almost without effort, as we let God's word do the work. Our work is to focus on him, to make him first place, to have no other gods before him. And as we do that, the change in our lives that we want happens. When we try to do it ourselves and make our flesh go under just by our own willpower. One person said it like this, it's like when you try to do that just in your own strength, you know, if your flesh is popping out over here and you put it down, he said it just pops up over here in a different way. You know, if somebody tries to get rid of one habit, instead they're not really, they get rid of that habit, but another habit pops up because they haven't dealt with the root of why they're needing something like that habit. They're dealing with the symptom. They're dealing with the habit. So they try to stamp out that habit, but they haven't dealt with the thing in their life that isn't right that's causing that habit. So another habit pops up and takes its place. And we've all probably been there. You know, you can shift your time schedule around, but then you try to get one thing right and another thing gets out of whack. We can go around in circles like that, chasing our tail, or we can just look to God and let him affect the change that will ultimately bring us where we need to be, and it'll be real and it'll be lasting, that we won't be just masking a symptom. We won't just be getting rid of one habit to replace it with another, but we'll get rid of the thing that's causing us to need something that we shouldn't really need in the first place. That as we focus on God and make him our Lord, make him the center of our life, that this need for these things that we don't really want in our life, or these changes that we seem to not be able to get rid of, that he becomes the center, and by making him the center, the need to act a certain way or to do these things, they just fall off. They fall off over time because we're letting God affect real change in us, not just trying to do something outwardly. Not just trying to, you know, look good. Not just trying to change physical behavior. Because we all know, I mean, we can all act a certain way for a certain period of time, but sooner or later, if we haven't made real change, it catches up with us. We're going to read a few more scriptures to this effect before we go on. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is in a closing, in a letter. It says in verse 23, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you." Sanctify means to set apart you completely. "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May the God of peace himself do it. Not you do it. Not you set apart yourself. You couldn't save yourself. None of us could save ourselves. None of us can do the ultimate thing that got us right with God, yet we want to take control and start doing all these little things. Well, if we couldn't take care of the big thing, it may be tempting to think we can take care of the little things. But a lot of times the devil's in the details of trying to get some of these things worked out. But if we'll look to God, he knows us. He's seen us. He knows the very, people try to do this with psychology and all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But God knows why we are the way we are. He knows exactly. He can pinpoint how we got to the point that we are in life. He knows exactly what things pushed us at what age, what day, what minute. He knows all our history perfectly. He knows exactly how we got to the place that we are now, and he knows how to get us to the place we're supposed to be. He can custom tailor a plan to get us where we need to be, where no human can do that. A human can take patterns that they've learned and say, well, you look like you fit here, maybe this will help because this has worked in other people. But a human doesn't know what you do in your daily life. No man can follow you around 24/7 and know the thoughts that are in your head, the actions that you have, and why you're doing the things you're doing. But God does. God knows exactly where we are, and he alone can really effectively change us to where we'll have lasting change where we want it. That he'll bring us along step by step. He knows how to unwind the things that have been wound up through years. All the little things that have gotten piled on over years and have gotten us in certain circumstances or certain things with our bodies or certain things with our minds. He knows how to undo that. He knows how to do it. He knows exactly what the problem is. He knows exactly what his plan is. When we came onto the earth, he knew what he had in mind. He knows how to get us where we need to be. He's not surprised by anything that's happened. It's not like we've thwarted the whole plan of God because we maybe haven't done everything perfect. That's not true. God looked upon it. He saw what we were going to do, and he picked out a plan for us. He knows our strengths, knows our weaknesses, has everything, and he has. I don't know if God really has a backup plan because he knows everything that's going to happen. So in one way, he knows what was going to happen. So to say he has a backup plan means he wouldn't have known what was going to happen. So I don't know how all that really works. We know God has infinite knowledge. But anyway, our mistakes don't affect his plan for us. Don't ever be fooled and think that we made a mistake, so somehow, God can't come through or he can't get us to where he wants us to be. That's a lie. God is powerful. God saw everything that has gone on in our lives. Up till yesterday, up till every day that's coming up, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't. He knows what's going to happen next week. We don't. Next year, 5 years from now, he knows. And if we make a mistake, it's tempting to think that somehow, we're not going to get to where we need to be. Or if we're not making this change today, where are we going to be in 5 years? I have to get this done now. That doesn't cause anything but stress. That just causes condemnation. We look to God and say, God, I don't know where I'm going to be, but you know. Lord, I don't know how to straighten everything out in my life, but you know. And so I'm going to look to you. I'm going to make you the center of my life. I'm like we talked about worship, I'm going to make it so that I have a continual communion with you. I just spend time with you. And as I rub shoulders with you, your way of being and doing is going to rub off on me. And you'll get me to where I need to be. I'll see things that I haven't seen before. I'll see ways of doing things where it seemed like I've gone around in circles forever and I don't know how to get any further. I don't know how to get to the place I believe you want me to be. You'll make it clear to me. It's like there's this shelf that I can't seem to reach. But if I'll just go and spend time with you and just focus on you, I'll come back later and suddenly I can reach that shelf. Suddenly you've put things underneath me that now I have a different understanding that when I reach, I'm there. I have a different view. I have a different understanding. I can see what you want me to be. I can see how to get there. And it didn't come through me working hard, you know, at trying to change myself or anything. It came from just looking to you and trusting and drawing from your wisdom, and that you'll work these things out in me, and you'll move me to where I need to be. I'm not saying that we don't take anything upon ourselves, that we just sit back. No, I'm saying to put God first and then be directed by Him. Don't try and do what He tells us to do. In other words, don't try to come up with your own plan and do it by your own sweat and hard work and try to make it happen in yourself. Let Him direct you and come up with the plan and show you what to do, and that will never be burdensome. It will be step by step, just like a child learns in school. They don't throw calculus at a first grader. That'd be stupid. The kid would look at it and go, "What? I don't even know how to count, let alone do calculus." Step by step, you go through to, you know, till you're a junior or senior in high school, you have calculus. And it's not a big jump then. Well, we don't need to just try to make leaps in our lives when we see there's something needs to be changed. We just need to look to God and He'll show us what things really need to be changed so that when we make progress, we don't have to go back. See, sometimes when we do it in our own strength and we think something needs to be changed and we look like we've taken a leap, we look like we've gone forward and really made progress, but in reality, we took a shortcut. We didn't deal with this, like I was saying at the beginning, we dealt with a symptom. And outwardly, people think, or we may think, and it may look good that we've really accomplished something, but the fact is, we haven't dealt with the real issue, so we look like we're over here, but we're not. We're eventually going to have to come back and consolidate that progress. Something it's not solid progress. It's something that we've gone over here, but we're really still over here. We're just over here externally, and some pressure point happens. There's a fault line there. When the pressure hits over here, we regress. But with God's way, when we look to Him, we go forward, and He makes it solid behind us. We get filled in so that we don't have to regress. He makes us progress solidly. He takes care of the things that need to be put in place so we're on a firm foundation. And so we can walk forward and make true progress and know I am here and I'm truly here. I'm not constantly trying to look back and say, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that, or I don't want to do this behavior anymore, and constantly trying to keep ourselves. We just don't have the desire for that anymore. We see a better way to go forward. We see a different way of living, or whatever. Whatever the issue is in our life that we're pressing on, it doesn't have to be a habit. It can just be something that we're trying to get to. We know we want to get someplace at a higher level in our lives with God. Whatever it is, we can get to the place that we are truly, we've gone through God's plan. And so when we step out, we're really where we need to be. We go forward with Him and He makes sure we progress the way we're supposed to. But you know, that takes a humility and it takes going to the Creator. And who gets the credit? It's not us that gets the credit at the end. It's not some self-help program. Because you can't create God's self-help program. Because it's not a self-help program. It's a God-help program. And so we have to look to Him and acknowledge that we don't have all the answers ourselves, and no man has all the answers. And we look to Him. He can use men. I'm not saying that. He can use books. He can use whatever. The thing is, though, He'll take anything that we have going into us, including the Word of God, and it's all really starts here, and He'll make our pathway clear through whatever means. He's not limited. Let's just read a couple other scriptures. We're going to another one, but 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want to get a couple of these in before we move on. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, you go back up a few verses, let's see. Well, he's talking about the old and new covenants, basically. But verse 17. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord, or where the, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being transformed into His image. We're being transformed into that image. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen tomorrow. It doesn't even happen, you know, 2 years from now. It happens over time that we're being transformed. And, you know, like we've talked about, it's all a process. When we step out of this earth, it's not over. We're not suddenly perfect. I don't know how all that works, but we're not God. There's going to be millennia that we're going to get to know God. We don't have infinite wisdom at that point. But the fact is, while we're here on earth, it's a process. Let's turn to Hebrews 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So he's praying for them, and he said, may God do this. Now listen to this in the Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, there's BibleGateway.com. You can go there and get any kind of translation you want and look up a scripture and print it out or put it into a, you know, Word document or whatever, and they have all kinds of translations there, and Amplified's one of them. But verse 21 says that, okay, let's see, verse 13:20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen." Now I'm going to read that again, but he, just listen to the words. He's saying, may God do this in you. May God do it in you. He says it in several different ways of what God is going to do in it. May God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be. We ought to be something. We all ought to be something, probably more than we are, but he's saying, may God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. I'm going to read it one more time, but just let it sink in. He's saying, may God do all these things so that you can carry out His will and do, and He'll do what's pleasing in His sight in you. He didn't say, now, here's the, you know, five-step plan. You go out and do it, and if you don't do it, you know, you're dumb, and it's all up to you. He said, may God do it in you to accomplish His will. May God do it. I'm going to read it one more time. Now may God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good. Equip you. If you think you don't need something, may God equip you with the things you need, that you and everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God works in us. We look to Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that He made us right with God. Through His sacrifice, He made our relationship back to the way it was between Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There is nothing between us and God. There is, you know, think about that. There was no people to witness to with Adam and Eve. There wasn't any church to serve in with Adam and Eve. There wasn't any, money to make. Money is a means of an exchange. There were just a few, couple people. There wasn't any of these things that we think we put this price of what we think is the will of God. Like we talked about when we were talking about worship, it's just spending time with God. That's why He created us. He didn't create us. He's not so concerned with us just going out and doing all these things for Him. Number one, it's just spending time with Him. And by doing that very thing that we were initially created to do, out of that flows the change that we need to affect everything else in our life, to do these secondary things like walking out His will now for our lives here on this earth. But His ultimate will, number one thing, the way reason He created us was to spend time with Him. And as we do that and put Him on the throne, look to Him, that life will flow from Him to us, change us, allow us to go out and do the things that He has for us. It'll change us. It will perfect us, like He said. Perfect us, complete us, make us what we ought to be, equip us to do His will so that He can work in us what is pleasing in His sight. But who is it all flowing from ultimately? It's Him. It's not, some seven-step plan that I'm giving you today. It's going to Him, and He'll give you the plan for your life. He'll give you the steps, and it may not be seven. It may be 10, it may be 15, it may be many, many more over many, many years as we just walk with Him step by step. Look to Him. Constantly look to Him. It just is this flow that comes from God the Father.